Welcome to the Marie Manucherry Podcast. Over the last 30 years, it has been my joy to assist humanity in aligning with their magnificence so they may heal, discover their natural gifts, and communicate with loved ones living on the other side. May you also experience delight while we dance in the powerful, intuitive world of energy. Let's get going. Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast. It's a lovely April afternoon here in the Northwest. Today I'm recording on Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm having a lot of fun teaching classes. So if you're taking a class with me right now, thank you. And I hope you're having fun too. You've learned a lot in these podcasts, I hope anyway. I hope you are. And I think it's time to start talking about not just receiving intuition, but translating it. The truth is that everyone is constantly receiving intuition, constantly. So there isn't some problem with you. There's not a problem with the universe. Your guides are not on vacation. The universe loves you and adores you and cherishes you and absolutely 100% is offering you higher self-knowledge, intuitive insight, beautiful solutions. It's happening all the time. Now, if you're thinking a lot, it's going to be difficult to hear, see, or feel intuitive information. So learning how to get out of your mind, rest in the lower half of your body, learning how to be present, which is a huge part of grounding. I receive a lot of emails from people who say that they're not grounded and they've been working on it forever. And then the majority of them, when I scan their energy, I see that they're grounded, but they're still thinking, analyzing, and processing from their mind, which is not a... It's like a computer, the brain is. It's very logical. So it's not going to give you those intuitive solutions. You're not going to feel grounded if you're in your head. You need to actually connect to the present moment. And for most people, initially, the present moment feels boring. It's not dramatic like the mind-made world that the majority of humans operate in. It's quieter. It's very zen. It's extremely beautiful once you let yourself be comfortable there. It's not this constant high sympathetic autonomic aspect of fight or flight. It's not that. And that means when you're feeling that all the time, that doesn't mean you're fully alive. That means you're exhausting yourself. You're not connected. You're not feeling the present moment. You're far away from your intuition because intuition is calm. One of the things that I do as a professional intuitive is I rest a lot. You know, I take breaks, I sit down, I take naps. I mean, just one nap typically a day, but I rest my mind. I don't want my mind to be because I know I'm not going to be able to do what I'm do professionally, which is to offer intuitive information. Intuition doesn't come from that, you know, that very high, scary, challenging energy. It comes from calm, peacefulness. And so learning to be comfortable in that vibration is key to help you to sense the difference between your mind and intuitive information, and then to hear, see, or feel the intuition that is already there for you. Like there's no disconnect. You are precious. You are an intuitive being always. And the only reason why you're not sensing it is because you're not in the correct frequency. Here's an example. Once I was walking Charles and, you know, he went poop. That's my job to look at and pick up his poop. That's one of my primary jobs. And I'm leaning over to get his poop and there's blood all over it, gross blood. My mind, which at the moment, I didn't know it was my mind at that moment. I didn't know it was my mind. And we usually don't in the moment when the mind goes, you know, my mind said, run back to the house, throw him in the car, take him to the emergency vet. That's exactly what my mind said. But I know, because I'm a practicing psychic, I know that when I'm hearing, seeing, or feeling fearful information, and that was fearful, emergency vet, which by the way, I love the emergency vets by our house because I feel like I'm in a surgical center. It's so cool. But it was a fearful response. Run to the car, throw him in the car, take him to the emergency vet. It's important for you to recognize what is the definition of fear and what's the definition of calm. So that's fearful. So I didn't do what my mind said. I was about to. I stopped. Charles is looking at me like, what's going on? Aren't we going to walk? And I stopped. I looked at some plants because I'm highly visual. I looked at something that I thought was beautiful. I waited till I recalibrated my energy. That means I felt calm. I was centered in the lower half of my body. We want to connect to the lower half of the body because that's what connects us to the authentic emotional response system. It's the second layer of your auric field. So when you hang out around the second chakra or below, you gain immediate access to this powerful flowing field of knowledge. So I looked at plants. I just waited until I felt happy again, not stressed. And then I heard something. So when you get happy by just refocusing your mind on personally pleasing things, not everybody gets excited when they look at plants. So if that's not you, or if that's you, that you don't get excited when you look at plants, you need to find something else to refocus your attention on so you can recalibrate. But it needs to be something pleasing, joyful for you. So I did that. And then I could hear, and keep in mind, Charles is my first dog. So I've learned a lot in the last 5 years. I heard, go to Mud Bay, which is a pet store, and buy some pumpkin and give it to Charles. He'll be fine. I'm like, what? So I went home. Then I went to Mud Bay, dropped him off at home, went to Mud Bay, got the pumpkin. And we happened to be like right in there when I walked in the store on a table, which is the universe again affirming, get the pumpkin. When you're in alignment with your insight, the universe just opens up like a freeway and starts delivering things to you in alignment. That's what helps professional psychics and, of course, anyone who's going to use their intuition personally or professionally to trust it, because you're in this alignment. Like I walk in there, I go, oh, cans of pumpkin. Never saw this when I was in the pet store before. Grabbed, you know, a can, talk to the people at the pet store. They're not veterinarians. And they said some rice would be great for him too. They recommended yogurt, but he won't eat any form of dairy. And I went home, gave him some remedies. He never had any more blood after that. And it was like 2 weeks later, I'm reaching in the pantry where his treats are way in the back. And I pull out this one package of treats. It's almost empty. And it says the word chicken on it, which Charles is very allergic to chicken. However, the packaging looks just like the lamb and the beef. So I missed it. I grabbed the wrong treat that he's allergic to. And that's why his intestinal tract was irritated. And that's why he had gross blood. Now imagine if I took him to the emergency vet, which is not a bad decision. It just wasn't an intuitive one. It was a fearful decision. He may have had IVs, not the end of the world, maybe an ultrasound. Maybe they would have run a lot of tests. Who knows what else they would have done, which is kind of stressful for animals. They don't like typically veterinarian facilities at all. So your job, because intuition is already a part of you, and the universe knows how you receive information. It knows if you're highly visual, if you're highly auditory, if you're highly color sentient, or depending on where you are in your relationship to yourself in the present moment, it will deliver it appropriately for you in that moment. The universe has your back. It has every intention of always connecting with you and always giving you the best, perfect solutions to any situation going on in your life and other magical remedies. But you have to calm yourself down. You have to stop thinking. You have to definitely back away from fear. You have to recalibrate your energy by engaging in something that's authentically pleasing and joyful for you. And you kind of wait. You'll start to notice when your body goes to that place. It makes me sad when I have to say that to people. Like, people don't know how to get into that joyful place. It makes me very sad. Because that's your normal. Your normal is to be in joy. And your job is to get back to normal as often as possible throughout your day so that you can be in higher levels of esteem awareness and make the perfect decisions and choices for you. So I hope that's helpful. I'm going to go to our voicemail now.
Hi, Marie. My name is Mara McCormick. I am just 60 years young. I just had my birthday. I have never been married, and I have so much love to give. I have so many friends. I'm so healthy. I've been working on myself for a very long time. And is there something that I can do to meet somebody? I'm so lonely and my heart is so open and ready. Thank you.
Hello, and thank you so much for leaving that voicemail. You can't be in lonely energy and attract a partner. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to work on being fulfilled with the way your life is exactly the way it is. I mean, being fulfilled as a single person. It's okay that you've never been married. I mean, that's going to be kind of the norm a lot moving forward. Younger people are not as excited about marriage certificates. So we're going to have a lot of people that never get married. even of course, people in partnership are probably never going to get married. And there'll be a lot of people who will not enter into long-term partnerships either. So you have to stop feeling lonely. Whatever we're feeling consistently is what we're creating. So you're literally creating not having a partner by consistently feeling lonely. So that's half of your work. And then it will be important for you to feel that you have a partner, because there's a different energy. And I know you haven't been married before. Maybe you haven't lived with someone before, but there's a different energy between being single, when you get to make all the decisions on your own, like all the paint color on your walls is of your own desire. All the furniture in your house is of your own desire. All the art in your house is of your own desire. Everything's of your own desire. So that's a kind of a delicious feeling, right? And then there's a coming together and a celebration of choosing things together and honoring the other person's choices and their experiences and eating at the restaurants that they like too, not just at the restaurants that you like as well. So it's in a way kind of like hanging out with your friends. If you and your friends have these mutual accepting relationships that you honor each other's choices and there isn't this overcompromising going on, because that's not healthy in any form of relationship. Overcompromising, not good. Then that's the feeling you need to have when you are feeling good about being a single person, that you're feeling loved by this person who adores you and cherishes you unconditionally, and you adore and cherish them unconditionally. Feeling something is how we manifest. When we're feeling things that we don't want, we will continue to manifest the things we don't desire. And then you have to get out there. You have to go meet people. You have to tell people you're looking for someone. You may have to get on a dating site or do some speed dating or something. You can't just stay home. I mean, you could. I'm not saying that's a have to, but we do live in a physical reality. So our bodies need to be in different places to allow different things to occur. Okay, keep me posted. All righty.
Hi, Marie. This is Corey from the Seattle area. My question is, for quite a while now, I will, through my third eye, I will see images that they flick through, like an image every couple of seconds, and it happens pretty quick. And I'm just shown different images. They don't make any sense to me, really. I'm just wondering, are these messages coming through from my guides? Do they mean anything? And how do I figure out what these slew of images mean? Is this my clairvoyance opening up? I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Corey. That's so cool. I'm very excited for you. This is clairvoyance. You're being shown like a movie almost. I think the reason why it's not making sense to you is you're using your mind to translate the information, and you cannot. You still have to get, even when you've already discovered a gift and an intuitive ability, like hearing or seeing or feeling, you still have to get out of your head and rest in the lower half of your body to translate it. An example would be, if I think of the color purple, I don't like it. I think I've used this example before. I don't like it at all. I think it's too woo-woo, weird. I don't like it from my mind. If I feel the color purple, I think it's amazing. I think it's the coolest color. And then I remember that it's the color of the third eye. No wonder I love it. So it's magical for me. It's when I feel it, I have a completely different response. So you can't think these images. You have to feel them. And that's where you need your practice. You need to rest outside of your body or outside of your mind, excuse me, in the lower half, like feel your glute muscles, wiggle your toes, put your hand on your belly button, close your eyes. And believe me, your energy is yours. You can pull it from your mind or just wait till it starts to relax and you start to feel an awareness of the lower half of your body versus our brain. Most people are in their head. That's why we're always aware of our heads and our faces and our hair. We're always primping or because we're in our brains and we're looking at everyone and judging everything with our eyes, which is also mental versus emotional, meaning judging people is not an intuitive experience at all. It's an unhealthy mental experience. So once you rest in the lower half of your body, then go back to these pictures. So you might want to keep like a list of when they come, you know, so that if you're getting five or six of them, just make a list of what they are so you can go back and feel them in your body. It may take you a little while to go, these are messages. You are getting information. I'm not sure what it's about right now, but it's a very positive, happy, good thing. People can have a good life. And so they're not going to get serious, scary, intuitive interruptions. It could be, it's going to be something positive, something helpful for you, something that's going to help your life move in a forward direction. I hope that's helpful.
Hi, Marie. My name is Mark, and I'm calling from upstate New York, where the Adirondacks meet Lake Champlain in a little town known as Port Henry. I discovered you on the Alex Ferrari podcast, and your message and positive energy really resonated with me. I'm calling to let you know that I'm a widower about a year out. My wife of nearly 35 years succumbed to pancreatic cancer. From diagnosis to her death was about 7 months. And I've come to realize that while what we went through was a difficult and harrowing time, I've discovered that I'm probably stronger than I ever imagined myself to be, and have definitely softened the harder edges of my personality. And so to pay it forward, I've become involved as a grief companion in my community and find it both personally rewarding and, dare I say, helpful for the person that I have the privilege of serving at this time. So I have three basic questions for you. Number one, will I keep going or even expand my role as a grief companion? Number two, given that I am now of a, shall I say, certain age, I'd like to get your reading on my health in the next year or so. And three, I'm planning on doing some traveling. I'm actually heading out west to your neck of the woods. As a matter of fact, late winter and early spring, Atlantic Canada later in the spring and the summer, and Europe in the fall. And while I find and feel as though I'm making the right move here, I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing at this time. So thank you so much for all the incredible work you do, your positive message, and I look forward to hearing from you. Take good care.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so sorry about your wife leaving. And pancreatic cancer is quick. Usually from time to diagnosis, most people don't make it to a year or they make it just at a year. So I'm incredibly sorry. There are some people who survive. Interesting enough, it's very perplexing. I used to think this way, but I have some clients who have survived pancreatic cancer. I used to think if somebody came to me and they were diagnosed with pancreatic cancer or Lou Gehrig's disease, a couple others, that I'm like, wow, they really want to leave the planet. That's what I used to think. Now that I've had some clients recover from, not Lou Gehrig's, but from pancreatic cancer, I've changed my thoughts about it. So we already know, and I'm sure you already know this, this is your wife wanted to go, not necessarily her humanness, but her soul, her higher consciousness wanted to leave and wanted to leave rather rapidly. And you're right, it's challenging because it tends to be a painful form of cancer for most people. Everyone's unique and different. Your wife is so happy for you. She's very proud of you. She's very pleased. She tells me that when you have to leave someone you love so much and leave your family and a world that you loved, because everything was fine, we're having a good time, and then boom, you know, just everything fell down, so to speak, is how she describes it. She said it brings her great peace and joy to see you flourish, to see you evolve, to see you having fun in a way that you never imagined. She feels like that year of complete shock and disappointment and grief is now, you're both being rewarded. You know, you're having a completely different life experience. Sometimes our souls, when we partner with others, hopes that at some point, whoever it is in the relationship gets some time alone. And of course, that could be from a divorce, that could create some alone time. It could be from the death of a spouse that we then get some alone time. But your soul wanted you to have some alone time, some different time without a partner. And so your wife is just please, please, please. And she's extremely happy and content. She said that she wants you to know that towards the end, which could have been the last couple of weeks, is how I'm translating this, she wasn't in as much pain as her body reported, you know, that the way her body acted, but what she was really experiencing was different. She just wants you to know that it wasn't as challenging as her body made it look, appear, sound, that she felt embraced. She felt comforted. She felt loved. She could feel her vibration changing. She knew she was leaving her body. She was excited about it. And I love these reports because we do get reports from people who have near-death experiences. Now, most of the near-death experiences that are reported from are not from terminal illnesses, you know, from a car accident or a heart attack or not something that's typically ravaged the body for a while. And so it's hard for our human mind to think that even though a body might be moaning or grasping things or contracting, that the being, the human being, is actually perfectly delighted, which was in your wife's case. I think you're going to continue with this grief work, but I do think you're stepping into mediumship. So be aware of that. If you start to feel something different, like your vibration's rising, you're getting happier during your grief therapy, which is interesting, just like when I was an oncology nurse, I was shocked by how happy I was, how high my frequency was. It was just a win-win for me. It's nice to have a nurse at the bedside who's happy no matter what's going on. And if you love what you're doing, you're going to do a good job. So I was very happy as a nurse. So pay attention to your joy. As it keeps rising, you're going to start to connect with the people that you are working with, their departed loved ones, and you're going to have messages for them. It's very exciting. I'm not going to answer too many more questions, by the way, because I have so many people. I'm not worried about your health, but you do need to spend more time finding out what brings you personal joy. And of course, helping others for some people can be very fulfilling. That doesn't always count. You still have to find out what brings you personal joy without helping everyone else all the time, because that can be exhausting. Thank you so much. Have great trips this year.
Hi, my name is Lee from Texas. My boyfriend passed away about a year ago when I was 5 months pregnant. And it was a really traumatic time and still is. But at the same time, I noticed that he was around almost immediately and have gone through a lot of experiences proving that he's near. And some situations with communication came into play, and even things like ringing ears and visuals, and it was a time of great grief and beauty. I guess my question is how to dive into this more, and also with my son and I, we have rosacea, and although not related, it does kind of bring a damper into, you know, everyday enjoyment of life when anything you eat or any high emotion causes your face to break out in a red painful rash. So seeing if there's anything I can do about that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, Lee, and I'm so sorry. For your loss, I can't imagine being pregnant and having a profound loss like your partner is leaving you, you know, when you're pregnant, and then probably being fearful that your emotions may cause potentially, you know, some undesired complications with pregnancy. And at the same time, I'm so happy you had your son in your belly at that time. Thank goodness. Your, I'm going to call him your partner. It doesn't feel right to call him your boyfriend. I don't know why. I was going to call him your husband, but I'll call him your partner. He said that he met his son on the other side and spent a lot of time getting to know him before his soul reincarnated to Earth. When people get pregnant, the soul may not enter until delivery, because not all souls want to stay in the womb. They may want to stay in the heavens and continue that experience until birth, which is kind of the more popular way to do it. Some souls will enter earlier or at conception if they want to, but most souls wait till birth. So your partner got to meet his son and hang out with him and get to know him very, very well. So I'm hearing your partner saying, and you probably already do this already, but to talk to your son as if he knows his dad, because he does know him. He knows him. And I think it'll be nice to really emphasize this true connection that's already occurred before, you know, your son came to Earth, now and continually throughout his time here on Earth. Speak to him as if he knows his father, because he does know him. And then he won't feel like maybe like in his teenage years or, you know, whenever it is when humanity says, oh, this should never happen. Like children should never die and partners should never die young. You know, we have all these terrible rules about death that really crush the souls of humans, not all souls, but a lot of them. And, you know, we need to really change our relationship with death and talk about it from the true capacity of its existence and stop saying that this type of death is the worst death and this type of death is the other type of worst death. We have to change this and realize that souls are powerful and they're making their own decisions all the time. And we need to learn to respect them and honor them. I'm not speaking this just to you, by the way. I just don't want your son to reach a particular age, unless if you remarry or if you get married or whatnot, that may not happen. He might meet someone else when he's young who is his father figure. But if that doesn't happen, or even if it does, we don't want him to get into that place like, oh, I never met my dad. He died before I was born. It's not because that statement isn't true, but it's the way humanity looks at that statement. This is why parents who lose children are devastated long before they need to be and can create crushing experiences in their lifetime after their children pass, because humanity looks at that as the worst possible thing that could ever happen. As long as we continue to make that our perception, then people are going to continue to have horrific moments after losing a child. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't make all of losses, you know, obviously it's a grief moment and we don't want any, none of us want anyone to leave the planet until we want them to, which means never for most people, but that's just not realistic. And we need to recognize that souls do not look at chronological age when they're making decisions about departure from Earth. They're looking at their own personal growth and expansion and what's next for them. So we need to have a conversation, and I would love it if you would just talk to your son as if you know he knows his father, because he does. And then maybe he can avoid these potential unrealistic and unnecessary human consequences of grief that are more mind-made than real, in my opinion. And I think that's going to help with your ability is to continue to talk to your son as if he knows him, like you're both just talking about him. You knew him, you hung out with him together. That's what I think. Thank you so much for calling.
Hello, Mary. This is Maria. I'm from Lithuania, but now I'm located in Spain. And my question is, how can I unlock my multisensory gifts and how to connect with my spirit guides? And I'm interested what they are telling you about me, and what should I do, because I want to explore this spiritual world even more. I was interested in it since my childhood, and I'm very passionate about it. So thank you so much for your answer.
You're welcome, Maria, and I hope you're enjoying Spain. I've been there once. It's beautiful. So you're almost there. You're so close. So yes, your spirit guides are talking to you. Yes, the multisensory world is talking to you. But you have to get a little bit happier. You have to get just a little bit more joyful. A lot more joyful, but I mean, a little bit more for you. Because remember, your spirit guides, along with anyone who's living or existing within the multisensory world, is that lives and at a very high vibration and frequency. I mean, like stunningly high vibration. And they will lower their energy as much as they can to get close to the human connection. But we in the human realm as humans need to raise our vibration so that we can meet in the middle. And that's what your guides are saying. You're so close. You're so close. And they do say you have moments where you feel them, but you're not acknowledging it. You're going, that's weird. I feel really good right now. I wonder why. In that moment, I want you to say, hi guys, I can feel you. Thank you so much for communicating effortlessly with me so that it all makes sense all the time. That's what I would love for you to do. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Marie. My name is Mary. I'd like to know who I am as a soul and how can I help myself to being better. Thank you.
Okay. So you want to know yourself as a soul. I believe that's what you're saying, Mary. It's a really interesting question. It feels a little odd to me, probably just because I've been working for the last 25 years consciously, consistently to know who I am. To experience myself, to be aware of my needs and wants, and not be caught up in what I think other people want from me or need from me, which is a tricky part of the human realm where we actually focus more on our needs than the needs of others. Older soul types are conditioned because they've spent centuries learning to be unconditionally compassionate towards others, which is a gift to learn such an incredible skill set, but they typically have forgotten to embrace that part of themselves for them. So I'm hearing that if you can start to be unconditionally compassionate to you, you're going to understand yourself better. I think your question is really more about, I mean, like you didn't ask the actual question you wanted to, or I misunderstood it, that you want to understand more about your gifts and your talents and your abilities that go beyond this human experience. You can understand those effortlessly, but you have to get to know who you are. Let's imagine that you've been eating a type of bread all of your life. Let's just say sourdough, which is delicious, by the way. And you've been eating it your whole life because it's the bread your parents bought, and you have this familiarity with the smell, and you love that first bite with butter on it. But have you asked yourself, is this the bread that you really like? You like it from a place of familiarity, from a family connection. Maybe the smell, because it feels familiar. A lot of people think that familiarity is the same thing as enjoying something or liking it or something that brings us joy. And that's not necessarily true. As we look at this example about bread, what if you went and bought like 4 loaves of bread, not sourdough, because let's just say you've already been eating sourdough, and you're going to make a decision based on your own personal needs, not your parents or children or friends or what the ingredients say, but you're just going to taste each single piece of bread, maybe some milk in between to, you know, rebalance your taste buds and find out what you feel about all these different types of bread to find your favorite that has nothing to do with anyone else. So basically the universe is telling you to get out of what is familiar that you think makes you happy to discover what is not familiar that you would have no idea that brings you great joy. That's where your vibration lives. That's where the knowingness will come from. And that's where all the remembering will occur, is in that dance, in that vein. I hope that's helpful.
Hi, Marie. My name is Tyson, and I'm calling from Hudson, Wisconsin. And first of all, thank you so much for all the work that you do. I discovered you late summer, early fall, and I've read one of your books and I listened to the other one. And I just love, love, love everything about what you're doing. And I love your podcast. So thank you for that. I'm also a nurse. I've been a nurse for about 4 years, and I have worked in med-surg, labor and delivery at a small rural hospital, and I still work there casually. And I also work in mental health at a big inner city hospital. And I've studied Ayurveda, yoga, Qigong, Thai body work, Reiki. I love all of the energy practices, and that's really where my heart is. I am also a nurse coach. So I want to get out of the hospital system. I, thought about starting programs within the hospitals, and I know it's not my thing, and it took me a while to come to terms with that. But I feel so scattered and confused on who to help, where to find people, and just where to get started. Do I start a YouTube channel? Do I go on Facebook, which does not actually interest me at all? If you have any guidance, if you could read my energy, if I have any leaks, and if you can see kind of which direction is best for me, what healing modality, or is it going to be my own little flavor of healing energy, and any guidance you can give me to starting my business, I would really appreciate it. Again, thanks so much for everything you do, Marie. I've learned a ton from you, and I just appreciate you so much. Have a great day. Thanks.
You're welcome, Tyson. Thank you. I'm so happy you want to be an energy worker. I mean, you are an energy worker. I mean, clearly you have more than enough experience when it comes to working with human beings. And mental health, I think, is the hardest. I mean, I truly do think it's one of the hardest aspects of modern medicine. And I'm glad that you were able to recognize that the hospital system isn't ready to integrate holistic medicine, whether it's energy work or otherwise, in the way that you deserve and the way that you want. I tried the very same thing. When I started to lay hands on people, I thought, oh, I'll just train all the nurses how to do this. Great. But nobody really wanted me to. So I'm not saying the supervisors wouldn't mind that. I taught meditation groups in the hospital to patients and family members and staff, whoever wanted to come, but it really didn't want to go beyond that. Sometimes certain systems are so locked in their historic function, like the legal system, as we're recognizing now, even the political system, like, oh, we have to vet people to make sure they're going to be honest. I mean, there's just so many weird things within our systems, the police force, just all kinds of things that don't really bend towards intuitive, practical, healthy aspects of what's best for humanity. And that's okay. We all chose to come to Earth during this time. We all knew before we came here what Earth is like and what all these systems are like, and we chose to be here. So I'm sure that we're learning a lot from that. But that had nothing to do with your question. Well, maybe a little bit in terms of not having to work within the system of the hospital. I think you have to stop thinking about what your modality is or what you're going to really do. I would much rather have you just get started. You're a healer, period. That's what you are. And healing takes many forms. I'm still shocked today, although I shouldn't be, but I am, that talking to a person's departed loved one creates so much extraordinary healing for my clients. Still shocks me to this day. That's why the universe showed me that I'm a medium, so that I can bring that into my practice. So if you start to decide, well, I'm just this and I only do that, you're going to limit yourself. Here's your prayer. May those who I can easily help find me. And I want you to start saying to yourself every day, I'm an amazing healer. I've helped people all over the world. I have incredible clients. I'm having so much fun. I'm doing a great job. I want you to start having great positive affirmations like that, because you already are a healer working as a nurse and all of these departments that you have and studying modalities that you have, like Qigong and Reiki, excellent choices, by the way. You probably believe you are a healer. If you don't believe you are, and this is for anyone who's listening, then you need to do what if questions. What if I have clients around the world? What if I'm great at what I do? What if I love what I'm doing? What if it's incredibly fun and financially rewarding? Start feeling this, start thinking that. And then things will happen, like, oh, that's where I'm going to work. Ooh, I'm going to start doing this. Don't even think about who are my clients. Your clients are the people you can easily help, which could be a child. It could be someone getting close to death. It could be a pregnant person. You'll even find out the areas that you excel at. Like, I'm, interesting enough, really good at helping women who've had C-sections to have successful vaginal births, their second, third, or whatever time. For some reason, I guess I'm a little bit of a baby whisperer, and I tell the baby what it needs to do before birth. And so far, I've had 100% success where the mothers don't need a C-section. So you're going to find things about yourself, you know, that you go, oh yeah, this is effortless for me. You are on the right track. I promise you, we need a lot of mystics on the planet, healers, psychics, mediums. Humanity is beginning to wake up. More so than before, and you are on the right track. So your prayer, may those who I can easily help find me and only do things that bring you joy. I do things like YouTube. I don't sit on Facebook. My assistants put most of my stuff on Facebook and Instagram and all of those things. They put this stuff up onto YouTube too, but I happen to like microphones. And so that's why I do things like podcasts and interviews and teach. I love to teach them. Okay. Good luck. I'm excited for you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Marie. My name is Annika. I'm calling from California. I have a question about my love situation. Firstly, I've been single for many, many years. And I've met someone that I'm interested in, and I want to get more clarity on the situation and if this would be a good match, maybe down the road, something that would be a positive union for both of us. He has psychic abilities, and I have some as well. We both are aware that each has these abilities. We've both expressed interest in each other. We are not dating. If you could provide any insight on this situation for my highest good, as I move forward in my life. Thank you so much.
Okay, Annika, so why aren't you dating? I don't think men are complicated creatures. Women, we are. And of course, some men have a lot of feminine energy, which might make them more complicated. And some women may have more masculine energy, which makes them less complicated. But men aren't that complicated. So if you're not dating, and have you discussed dating? I mean, usually when a man, and I may be being too stereotypical right now, it could be related to my generation and the way we've thought about dynamics and relationships. But usually when a man likes a woman or another man, or however a person would identify themselves with, or someone who has strong masculine energy, they kind of move forward. They don't just wait. So the fact that you're not dating, unless you live on opposite sides of the world or something like that, I do think that is, it's almost like you're hoping that you're going to date, but I want you to be with someone who you are completely 100% sure that they are totally into you, that you feel adored and cherished. They make it clear that you're a priority, that you're an interest. So unless things are, you know, like he lives on the other side of the world, because if he's married or you're married, then that's a whole nother issue, but you're single, so that's not you. And I want you to be with someone who you have absolutely no confusion of how much they love you or are interested in you or care about you. And not only do they speak it, they actually give you clear evidence Other than that, you shouldn't date those type of people. If someone's not interested in you, it's kind of obvious. They don't call you. They don't connect with you. They don't share things with you. They make you wait unnecessarily or without reason. That is not a good dating person for you. You need to feel clear and confident that someone is ready and willing to spend time with you. That's what I think about that. All right. Good question.
Hi, Marie. This is Catherine out here in Tempe, Arizona. I have a question for you. About 16 years ago, my husband passed away and left us with, we had our 4-year-old daughter. Right now, she's 20. She's doing wonderful, I believe. Now, when he passed away, I was able to be at a peace. And when our home was taken, the car was taken, even the dog died, there was a trust and a knowing that came over me. And so much so that I remember telling people that I'm just standing in grace. Now, 16 years now, I'm wondering, how do I get back into that knowing again? I can't remember how I got there, and because it just came over me effortlessly. And for the past, I don't know, year or so, I have been trying multiple ways, meditating, loving myself. And could you please help me? There's a glitch, and I'd kind of like to clear that up so I can get back into that space of knowing and trusting the universe. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine, for your question. It's a good one. And I'm so sorry your spouse left when you were with a young child. And, you know, sometimes when a spouse leaves, there's not enough resources to pay our mortgage or the car payment or things of that nature. It depends on how the work was divided and who was the breadwinner and all of those things. So it's kind of a crapshoot when, you know, a particular family member leaves the home. What happened to you? And thank you for being in that grace. You're an old soul, so you're kind of comfortable with death, quite frankly, even though it was so close to home and not what you wanted, not what you planned for. You just have this really interesting knowing about death and dying. It's lovely. So what happened was you were kind of living your life more intuitively as much as you could during that time period. And having a young child can make people very intuitive because they're playing, they're working hard, but you also play, you know. I play chase and hide and go seek every time my grandkids come to my house, every single time. And it's so fun. We all just laugh our heads off, everybody. It's a very high vibrational energy. So you had to get serious. You had to buckle down and use your logical mind so that you could have housing, transportation, resources. You just moved into that very adult responsible role, and you didn't give yourself permission to use your intuition. So in other words, logic and intuition need to coexist together because there are things in our life that we have to do that are logical. Like we have to make sure we eat the right kind of food, we drink enough fluids, that we go to the bathroom, we put on the right layers of clothes. When you live in the Northwest, you have a lot of layers and tons of coats because everything changes all the time here. So that's the logical part. And then we have to marry our logic, which we use less. We use logic less in the physical form than intuition. But you just turned off your intuition because you couldn't be homeless. You couldn't not have a car. You could not have enough food or money, and you had to figure it out. And you didn't know that that you had to maintain your intuition while you also utilized your logic, which is perfectly fine. That was smart. Good for you. You figured it out. It all worked out well. So now that you've figured out how to live comfortably on earth, you know how to use your logical mind. It's not going to turn off or stop. I promise you. There's a lot of people who believe in metaphysics who don't really turn on their logical mind very well. And it makes their life challenging because they can't get a lot of their logical needs met, or they have to work really hard. They feel instability because they're only using your intuition. But we do live in a physical world where there's gravity. So there's logic connected to our bodies at this time in our existence. So now you've got this logic all figured out. It's beautiful. It's been imprinted in you. You're not going to forget about it. Now you can go back to that intuitive place. You can go back to that letting go place, to this surrender, to getting out of the way. That's all you have to do. If you just start repeating, what if I surrender to my divine genius intelligence, my intuitive glory, and allow myself the freedom to easily move between these two aspects of my knowingness, I think everything will be fine. And your husband, who was very handsome, by the way, is blowing kisses, the departed one, because I don't know if you have a new one or not, to your daughter and yourself. And you're right. I think your daughter's great. Good job. Excellent. Thank you.
Hi, Marie. This is Cynthia from Indiana. My question is, am I an old soul or a young soul? I've recently found you and really like listening to what you have to say. So my story is I tend to lie, and I've cheated and lied to my husband on different occasions regarding my interactions with other men. I don't want to hurt him, but I do tend to. I can't seem to stop it. I love him, but often feel smothered by his insecurity. Or fear of losing me. I want to stay with him, and he wants to stay with me, but I want to be free to have other lovers. We have agreed to this, but he isn't happy about it. Is the lying related to feeling unsafe with my husband and his acceptance of who I am? Or is it from a past life type of scenario? Thank you.
You're welcome, Cynthia. Really cool question, and thank you so much for sharing it. Luckily, I've heard pretty much every question that anyone could pass to me, so I enjoy all questions very much. I think they're interesting and fun. You're not a young soul. Young souls would not care about the emotions of other people that they're affecting. So you are at the very least a medium. So I think you're like at the beginning of old soul, maybe tiny at the end of medium soul. You're in a beautiful, I mean, all souls are beautiful. They're all stunning. But if you were younger soul, you wouldn't be worried about this question. So I have a few thoughts and ideas. I do think your desire to have a lot of relationships with other people, which is not a bad thing. You know, we live in a different world today where people get to explore their sexuality and relationships any way they want to. I do feel like you're just kind of an addiction because I can sense your energy about it. There's like a force that overcomes you that you just can't stop, like an addiction force, like when someone's grabbing a bottle to drink or smoking or shopping too much, right? When there's no need to really shop. So I think that would be fun to explore that, not because I'm asking you to stop that behavior. You get to do whatever you want. If you want to love a bunch of people and it's authentic for you at the same time, great. But I think you need to explore this because my feeling is that this is not authentic to you, that it's an addiction. You're trying to hide some healed emotions inside of you, or you're trying to distract yourself from them. And I think it would be interesting to explore, you know, like, what am I doing this out of true authentic desire for myself? Is this something that truly feeds me, or is this based on a fight or flight fear that I have for other things that I'm unaware of? And this is why I'm making these choices. So that's what I would recommend, is to explore that with like a therapist or a counselor or a coach, someone who, of course, who's going to be very accepting of whatever you decide and whatever decisions you're making right now as well. Not someone who has an agenda that would be incorrect behavior. We don't want that at all. Regarding your husband, he's a very lovely person He truly does care about you. I mean, his decisions are his decisions, but he does not want to be in a relationship where you're having relationships with other men. Now, I can tell that because he says yes, you're not going to leave the relationship to do what's in his best interest. Not that you have to. He's a grown person. He gets to make his own decisions. If he's saying, I'm going to stay even though I don't like it, then that's his choice. I personally wouldn't stay with someone who didn't appreciate the way I wanted to live my life. That's just me. I just have too much respect for myself personally to feel comfortable staying in a relationship with someone who disagrees with my lifestyle choices. It would be like asking me to have a relationship with someone who doesn't believe in psychic ability or doesn't want me to practice it, but they're going to stay with me even though I'm psychic, right? I don't think that's healthy. So first and foremost, I think it would be critical for you to explore this from an emotional perspective to see if this is true, authentic desires that you have. Great if they are, or if you're trying to mask some repressed emotions that you're unaware of that give you this urge to go out and have different relationships with other people. Let's do that. Let's explore that if you want to. No one ever has to do anything I suggest, ever. And if you do, regardless of which way, whatever you discover, that would be fun for you and your husband to talk about, right? That would be a fun thing for the two of you to discuss, is this exploration that you're having. It will help him to understand you better, or help you to understand him better. Maybe even some joint therapy might be nice so that he has someone, if he wants to, he doesn't feel like he actually wants to, but to have another person who's not in the middle of this to have a conversation. So I'm curious to see what you discover about yourself, and I think it's going to be really healthy and fun and interesting for you, regardless of what you discover. I'm excited for you, and I can't wait. I know I may never hear from you again, but I can't wait for you to have more fulfillment in this from a grounded knowing that what you're doing is in your best interest, whatever that is. Okay, thank you.
Hello, Marie. My name is Pam, and I'm in Boston, and I have a question for you. About 8 or 9 years ago, I was having trouble swallowing, and I had an endoscopy, and they said that my throat was down to like about 4 millimeters wide, so it was very narrow. And that, you know, I would be at risk for choking. So I was diagnosed with eosinophilic esophagitis. And since then, I've had some periodic stretching. But in the last few years, it's been sort of okay. And maybe recently, I feel like I'm having difficulty swallowing. My question is, what is causing this? Is there some sort of energetic reason for this?
Yes.
And I now have an opportunity to join a clinical trial, and I'm sort of on the fence about whether I should do it, because at the moment I don't quite want to take the chance and go through the hassle of it, but on the other hand, it may be a wise course for me. So I'm just hoping you might be able to provide some insight into why I have this condition and what I could do, what I'm allergic to. I already know I'm allergic to chicken, but that might be causing all of this. Okay. Thank you so much for your help. Bye.
You're very welcome. I'm so sorry, Pam, because it's kind of scary, you know, when the area where we're, you know, receiving food and nourishment and all of that starts to close down. It's kind of scary for sure. Chicken. I wonder if your blood type is B, because that's pretty, that's what's written in Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I can't remember the doctor's name. So sorry. Who wrote the book? He went to Bastyr here in the Northwest. I've interviewed him once on radio, but yeah, I think he's just great. So B blood types are not supposed to eat chicken. I have a daughter who's a B blood type, and I always tell her, I'm never going to make you chicken. But at any rate, this has to do energetically, of course. There's a cause of this. Of course, everything comes down to energy, and energy moves in the body based on what we're feeling. And most people have no idea what they're feeling about anything. At least that's what I believe and what I've experienced, and how I do my work is through recognizing what people are really feeling, actually. So you are afraid to speak your truth. And this does not mean that you're a dishonest person. Like, it doesn't mean you're lying about anything. But there's a bigger knowing that you have inside of yourself. Your truth is probably, this is an odd word, but superior or more enlightened than the rest of the population. And you're not allowing yourself to sit in it, to recognize it, or to express it. In order to do that, you're going to have to stop listening to your mind, because that's one aspect of truth. It's a limiting form of truth. And learn to rest in the lower half of your body. I linked some videos in my last podcast to one of the comments about resting away from the head in the lower half of your body. I have these things on my YouTube channel. I teach them in every class that I teach. I teach them to all my clients. I think it's crucial for our evolution to learn that we are more than our mind, and our mind only delivers certain aspects of truth and knowingness, and it's incredibly limited. So you have elevated aspects of knowledge and wisdom and truth, higher truth, that you are refusing to investigate or get to know. And so then you can't express it. And that's why you're feeling a narrowing of this area, because you've narrowed who you think you are and what you can express. What I would do regarding the clinical trial is I would wait and maybe find out if they're going to offer this trial again. I know once a trial is open, you can only enter it while it's in the open. I understand that. And I'm sorry to make this suggestion. You have, of course, free will and can do whatever you want. But if you start to investigate your real feelings, I think this could resolve, quite frankly. Or if it only resolves partially and you decide to take the clinical trial, then you'll have better results. So when people heal their emotional connection to whatever, but let's say the physical body, they have better results in their healing, regardless of how they choose to heal. So that's what I'm recommending. Do this first. Get curious about this first. It might even require some therapy, because you're that afraid to know how you really feel and think about things. And yet you have a high level of awareness. I do think part of this constriction is also neurological. There's a neurological aspect, and that's because the crown chakra is connected to the heavens, and creation loves everyone unconditionally and can see their beauty and their magnificence. And when the seventh vortex governs the neurological system and all of our skin, when we don't allow that energy to come in, that beautiful connection to the universe, then it can affect the neurological system and or our skin as well. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Marie. My name is Jacqueline. I live in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm calling because I've had kind of a strange health issue that I haven't been able to get to the root of. It's been there ever since I was a child, and that is that I have a habit of biting my cheeks. And yeah. I think that the reason why I'm biting my cheeks when I've stopped the habit is that they're peeling. And it started when I was a little kid. I've talked to lots of dentists, doctors, talked to the endocrinologist, the dermatologist about it. And they seem to think that it's because my teeth are spaced in a way that I just naturally bite the cheek. But like I said, I find that it's peeling. I've changed my toothpaste, basically everything. So I was wondering if you have any insight to this problem. Thanks very much. I love your show. Can't wait to hear from you. Bye.
Hi, Jacqueline. Hello, Jacqueline. Thank you for sharing your question. I really appreciate it. Could you wear a night guard if you don't, please? Please wear a night guard. And I know this chewing may not be just while you're sleeping, but please wear a night guard. Sometimes it can be the anatomy of the mouth. Like I have a lot of tissue in my cheeks. I also have a very large tongue. And I certainly at night will bite all kinds of weird things sometimes. But wearing a night guard really, really helps. So it could be anatomical. I will say that when people have issues related to the throat chakra, which is what we're talking about, which we were talking about with the last caller too, which is interesting. I love the synchronicities of the universe. It has to do with speaking our truth and, more importantly, personal power. So I believe that the throat chakra is the most powerful vortex in the physical body. A lot of people think it's the third. I don't. I think all the chakras are powerful. And the third chakra is about the immune system. So how cool could that be? And it's about self-love. That's pretty incredible. But I think it's the throat chakra is the most powerful vortex in the physical body. And here's one of the reasons why I think this is true. The throat chakra is best friends with the fifth layer of the auric field. All same numbered chakras and fields. There's seven primary layers to the auric field. There's seven primary chakras in the body. They're best friends. So the third chakra and the third layer are best friends, just like the fifth chakra and the fifth layer are best friends. Now, the fifth layer of the auric field is incredibly cool. It's cobalt blue in color. It's structured. So it's beautiful beams of light that crisscross this gorgeous blue field of energy. From a textbook perception, it's about 5.5 feet away from your body. But if someone extends their energy, their auric field, appropriately, like then their auric field is going to extend 3 city blocks in every direction. So obviously the fifth layer of the auric field could be much further away from someone if they truly expand their aura. But what's magical about this fifth layer is that all of your natural gifts and talents and your magnificence lives on the fifth layer of the auric field. And when we leave our bodies, our auric field goes with us. Our chakras go with us. They're a part of our soul. This is our energy that is expressed in the human capacity, even though, you know, we don't talk about the auric field or energy field in normal institutional learning, like medical school. It's not talked about, at least in Western medicine. It's not discussed at all, actually. But this fifth layer of your auric field, which some people call the divine plan, I call it the life purpose, whatever you want to call it, that has some type of definition like that, is wonderful and magical and authentic to its presence. When people speak their truth, so they express their truth, which actually comes from your emotional body, not your brain, energy will vibrate from the throat chakra, go all the way to wherever your fifth layer of the auric field is, ignite the fifth layer of the auric field so that you begin to become aware of your natural gifts and talents. You start to become aware of your magnificence. And as you become aware of it, then you make different decisions. You follow it. You explore it. It's very, very fun. It's extremely interesting. So speaking one's truth is critical. And a lot of people are terrified of their magnificence. I think humans are kind of like cockroaches. We can do life broke, lonely, and or sick. We can. But we are not as comfortable doing it in full expression or even half expression of our true authentic selves and our true magical beings of genius, which we all are. So that's what I have to say about that. I'm more interested in that aspect. Like maybe your being is helping you in every way possible so that you'll start to express your truth. And expressing one truth, if we can't say it to a human being, we can say it to a wall, a dog, a tree. You can write it down on paper so that more of your magnificence can be seen, so that you can be attracted to it and allow it to bloom on earth now. Thank you, everyone, for leaving your voicemails. I really love them, all of them. You make me very happy. I wish you a beautiful day, no matter where you are in the world. I will see you soon. Bye-bye.